Hey, what's up everyone out there? Welcome to the Addicted Fishing Podcast. This is episode number 18, and I'm going to start this out the gate with quickly saying make sure you tap that subscribe button and listen to more episodes if you haven't. Like I said, this is number 18 we got out, and tonight we have Josh Handy,
what's Clint, up, guys?
Garden Frugal Lori in the building, and then we also have Cameron the Legend Black. And Cam, what are we talking about tonight?
We are talking coho.
Ooh, I like Look at that. I like that setup.
Everybody kept asking for it. Where's the coho?
We don't know where they're at, but we're going to talk about it.
I think they're on the Columbia just sitting there being unmolested by the 360 Super Series.
I wish we were out there molesting them.
I know, we'd be whacking them right now.
Well, this is getting weird.
For you,
you're the one that used the word
that deep breath, too. Like,
me too. Go out there and get me some coho.
Regardless, everyone out there listening, we're talking, we're gonna talk just all about coho fishing tonight. We're gonna touch all different subjects, all different variations of twitching jigs, rods, reels, water types,
spinners,
everything. So, if you're watching on YouTube, everyone hit the subscribe button. Make sure you share this out there if you're on the other, platforms like Google Play, Spotify, yada, yada, yada. You know the drill. Hit subscribe. We appreciate you all.
And then you'll know when these come out.
Exactly.
Because that's how it works. Isn't that awesome? No, but I mean, shoot, we're, so here we are sitting. This is the second week of October. And everything's dry. All the leaves are green.
Not much rain in the forecast.
Sunny. 7 days of 70
is what I'm seeing. Disgusting.
The lows aren't even that cold either. Like, it's definitely
it's gonna be a good weekend of camp, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be an awesome weekend of camp.
We're gonna catch some fish.
We're gonna catch some steelhead. Are you coming?
I could make it on Saturday.
All right. You're coming.
We'll talk
then
about that later.
You're coming. But Clint's not coming.
We don't want Clint. Clint
works. We're gonna need more rafts for sure. If we're gonna be doing this float.
He's got a raft.
But I'll tell you what. We're talking coho this episode, and it's definitely the talk of the town. And back to my molesting the coho out in the Columbia River comment, like usually this time of year, the Columbia's open and we find really good success fishing, short bus, super series flashers and super baits, Brad super baits and spinners. And we usually are out there wailing on them this time of year, because, and especially in this setup that we have, this setup that we have is where the tributaries are low. Those fish have moved in. I know they're there,
they're just holding.
They sit there and they just... Coho move on the water. I don't care what the forecast is. They don't care about the date. Those leaves are still green on the trees.
Yeah.
We are not in fall. And I tell you what, a lot of people have a lot of doom and gloom about the season. And, at the end of the day, until that water comes up, and then at that point in time, if I don't see fish in my system,
then we'll know.
Then I'll know. Yeah. Then I'll be freaking.
But until then.
Oh, and last year was the optimistic. Same exact setup, except we were molesting those fish out in the Columbia.
Ooh.
I know, I had to say that again just because Marlon loves that word, I can tell.
So weird.
But you know what? I tell
such
you what, like,
word.
You know, last
I don't
year.
Know why he uses it.
Well, that's what we were doing. Because we were beating them up. We were hooking a few. And I tell you what, like,
beating
last year was
the molesting
exact
is not the same.
Shut up. Okay, fine.
Balls of steel.
And that's Marlon on the soundboard. Great. We're in trouble. But I'll tell you what, last year was almost the exact same setup. We had zero.
Let's just hope it doesn't play out like that year. It just was no rain and then just...
I'm okay with that.
2 months straight. Yeah, I know.
I'm okay with that. Well, not for 2 months. No. Last year we had a situation. I can tell you the exact date. It was October 14th where the skies just...
Yeah, I remember.
Here we come.
Because the next day it was... on fire.
Exactly. And all that rain dumped, they cranked the dams, the tribs came up, everything got muddy, got a little... Where we had zero rain those first 2 weeks of October, like I said, the only difference being is that we were out fishing them in the Columbia, and we were getting them. And we were, I think last year at this time, I think I had 5 fish on at one time. I remember that. I was down fishing below where I usually fish. Suspend trolling on the slack tide, I literally had 5 rods go off at once. Like, just hit a school of coho. They're all coho. And we get some chum. Like, that's the other thing. Like, get some chum that are just staging out there. And you know it when you hook those things. That's for another podcast.
What's killing me is that nobody's able to fish down the estuary, so we don't really know what's coming.
We don't really know.
That's what's scary.
But what I will say is that as far as the tributary fishermen last year, like, we didn't even try to go into the
tributaries. No, not until we got some water.
And once we got water, we got a lot of it. And, man, I was hearing the reports, talking to people, no fish. Oh my God, where are they at? I was like, well, we're getting them out here. They're out here. Once that water came up, it was game on, and it was game on till Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I think we're in a situation.
I was hunting that entire time.
Yeah, you were, and that was. You know,
I remember getting so many pictures from you guys. You guys were catching a lot of fish. It was awesome.
Just that one trip that I went with Cam.
You were like on the. You were on the. And keep in mind, you were the second. Weren't you like?
Cam has them figured out.
Shut up. Were you the second boatload that day or the third boatload?
I was the first.
You were the first boatload. Okay.
Yeah, we spanked them.
We just had some.
Because I think we were doing a live feed the night before, and you were like, "Yo, we're going. The water's gonna be high, but it's gonna be good." Yeah. And I was like, whatever, it's going to be
high water does not.
This is going to suck. And we dump in and it's like chocolate milk. And I'm like, this is so stupid.
Really?
And then we just smash fish all day. I mean, it was like insane. And the thing about, epic, awesome, amazing.
And how many fishermen did we see on the river that day? Bank?
There was like nobody on the fishing. Except for the guys standing on the bank with their 6-foot, 8-foot leaders. That was about it.
A few snaggers.
Nobody twitching.
Like I said, high water just doesn't freak me out. It moves the fish to the 10% of the river that they can sit in. And guess what? Coho like backwaters.
Yeah.
There's a ton of spots that I look up and down the river, like even while I'm fishing it when it's stupid low. And I'm looking, I'm like, yeah.
I wish I could fish.
I caught a fish behind. I catch fish like crazy behind that bush that's 15 feet up the damn bank.
Yeah.
Like, you know what?
It's like when we fish low water for steelhead. I mean, it congregates the fish into certain areas. They're not going to be in the main channel.
No,
for sure. Off in the back eddies.
No, but this season's been a little bit rough. Actually, I've been catching a lot of fish on Brad's Wigglers. I really have. Like, it's definitely those little A runners sometimes, like a lot of the low water situations. For some reason, that Wiggler has been doing really good. I'd say I'm 50-50 this season, but I've only got about maybe, my trips, maybe 15 to 16 total.
Like, not bad. Are they 100% A runners, or do you think you're seeing some B runners?
No, so one of the fish we got.
I would rather you just see A runners, because then we know there's a ton of B runners out there.
Yeah, but no, the one we got today was absolute. It had an adipose fin about the size of a freaking tule. It was probably easily a 12, 13 pound hen, just absolute stunner, just choked a freaking twitching jig. And
big old fat belly.
Oh man, just a beast. I wanted to kill her so bad. Yeah. But we threw a radio tag down her throat and sent her swimming. But
oh, that's what you were doing today. That's
what we were. But she was. I mean, the fish that we have gotten in the last week have been really nice size, like definite, you know, stunner, sea lice, blingers. And it seems like I'll either catch 4 to 5 in a day, or I'll catch none. Like, it's like I'll either hit a little pot of fish that are moving through, the ones that just said, ah, screw it, it's high enough, we're coming up, or nothing.
That's what I'm excited to see from the stuff you guys caught in the ocean to what we're going to see this, you know, this late fall.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Those A-runners.
Whether or not they were coming our way, I don't know.
That's... Well, supposedly, funny thing about that, like, so a lot of that ocean fishing that we saw off the Columbia this year, like the coated wire tags came back. A lot of
Kevin Gray told us where those
exactly,
were coming from.
Gray's Harbor stuff. A lot of those fish just dipped south, and there must have been some feed that they were on. And a lot of those fish, those coated wire tags came back not Columbia.
Yeah,
River.
Yeah, kinda, they weren't.
That
from
was my
here.
Thought. I either thought they were going south, or I don't know that. I didn't know that. But
well, yeah. Let me ask you a question for a new guy like me. Like, when do these B runs start coming in? Is it the rain that triggers it, or is it a certain time of the year that triggers it?
I think it's a combination of both. Like, it's if we could fish down in the estuary,
we would have a way better idea of what's happening.
We'd have a way better idea. But like right now, like this is the time, a lot of times, like we used to go crabbing, we'd throw our crab pots out and then just
go make some passes.
Diver and spinner just troll circles around your crab pots and catch freaking these giant button-nosed B-run silvers. And like I said, unfortunately, that was kind of mismanaged for us this year, because it was the fishery was supposed to be managed to where we would see this coho fishing after we were not able to retain Chinooks. But unfortunately, we kind of blew up our Chinook impact, caught a little too many too quick, and now we have no impacts for the river, so we don't know.
Because even last year with not great runs, I mean, there was people down there just spanking them in the estuary.
Well, that's because there's only like 12 boats that do it a day, too. It's like it's the most undertapped fishery I think we got. It's
time.
So good.
Chinook leave and people just bounce. They just leave. They don't even care about the coho.
It's crazy.
And it is.
Because it can be insane. I remember the first time I went down there in late October, and this is like novice. I had hardly ever fished buoy 10, and it was like 4 or 5 takedowns a pass.
Yeah.
It was just insane.
Silly. Put your spinner out at like 10 on your diver and let it rip.
And see how many times your rod can get ripped before you actually hook one.
Yeah.
So aggressive. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the way of the world and it's what it is this year. And maybe next year we'll get to experience it. But, yeah, it's definitely a little bit of a – definitely interesting. But like I keep telling my clients, like tomorrow, for instance, I had, you know, guys that specifically wanted a twitching trip and I canceled on them. And I think if I went out there and I worked hard, I could probably get one or two. But that's not the twitching trips that we're used to. No, it's just kind of the way it is.
No.
I told him, I go, we need
those guys either.
We need a bump back till first week of November, even later. Like, it's just, those fish will come. And we just, like I said, the 7-day forecast as we sit right now is sunny and 70. Those leaves aren't going to fall. Like, it's the way it is. But there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, a lot of cool new stuff anyways with, you know, like the twitching jigs, we're developing our own twitching jigs and we're kind of testing those and we're kind of doing a lot of playing around, just kind of waiting for the onslaught of fish. But yeah, they don't start getting here pretty quick. I'm going to start bumping a lot of people. Kind of the way it is.
Yeah, we definitely don't have any rain for like the next 7 days. But then after, like then after that, it's like possibility.
Yeah,
like it's like 30, 25, like nothing crazy. Marlon's going to have an awesome early buck hunt. It's going to be like
all those leaves on the
70
trees,
degrees.
They're
going to
be hiding. Yeah, no, it's going to be pretty rough. But I'll tell you what, like, you know, the numbers are supposed to be similar to what they were last year. The fish are big. There's a million, and I mean a million jacks.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I don't know if I even mentioned this in the other podcast, but the dam, the Pacific Power there, the dam company that does a lot of the pit tagging and stuff on these coho jacks that are going out, like they're getting these coho back. And sometimes a high jack count can mean a bad ocean, kind of mean kind of a terrible situation out there, but they're getting fish back that are 3 times their length and 6 times their weight. And that's off the charts for fish growth and development for when they went out. And they're pit tagging individuals. Like, so they know what that fish weighed, what it was, what its length, when it went out, when it came right back. They came back fat. So hopefully, just like I said, what we got is showing up as far as these jacks is a representative sample of what we got actually sitting out there in the ocean that survived. And we could be...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, do the jack numbers then calculate to next year? Huge, big, way see, bigger returns?
That's what it
like,
used to be.
So right. what it's an indicator. And so what they do is so many of... So you have, you know, your coho go out as one group. So let's just think of one out migration pod of fish. A certain percentage of that will branch off and come back in as jacks. A certain branch will come on back as 3-year-olds, right? So like depending and so on and so forth. So depending on if that first little batch that branches off and comes back is way bigger than what you're used to seeing, they use that as a representation of the whole group that stayed out there.
Right.
And then another batch can, you know, and then say they do it with Chinook. And so they do use the jack counts as a pretty big indicator. And there was a lot of, you know, and this year's been really good for jacks across the board. There's been a lot of Springer jacks. There was a lot of, you know, the Chinook jacks right now going over Bonneville Dam are like 1 out of 6 fish.
Yeah,
is a
it's
jack.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's really good. So who knows? And they're coming back huge too. We're getting 3-pound jacks on the river that I'm fishing. In fact, honestly, when we get bored of twitching or when we get bored of hovering for Chinook, we've been going into the riffles, drifting little baits of eggs. And picking them up just because, like, shoot, you get about freaking 8 to 12 of these at the end of the day. You got a pile of little fillets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking pretty nice.
Well, then, so what's your go-to technique?
For what? For the coho?
Sure.
Coho right now, honestly, it's been just bobber and egg in the riffles. Like, right now, man,
that's
you
can... That's where they're finding safety.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, a lot of the runs, a lot of the pools are super, like, super clear, super greasy slick. They're in there, but they're just tough. And so, like, the ones we're finding biting are actually in the very few spots we're finding some moving water that the fish will hold into. Like, they want that cover above them, you know, a little bit of egg, something a little more subtle sometimes working. And some days I've done really good on the bobber and eggs, and some days I've done better on the wiggle worms.
So no hovering?
I've picked up a few hovering, but percentage-wise, it wouldn't be my go-to. Like, I've incidentally caught a couple, but I've caught way more Chinook. Way more Chinook covering.
You change it up if you're targeting the jacks?
The yeah, if I want to just try to gun for jacks, I'll put the twitching rods and the wigglers away, and I'll just go into the riffles and just start like bobbernagging or just drifting little, you know, just little baits, little cluster baits, eggs.
Josh is getting excited over there. I can tell.
No, I'm getting excited for the rain to come.
Yeah, he's like, screw it. I'll just show up when I'm like,
show 30. Up when it's good.
Yeah. No, so I mean, that's what we're having to do, but we're keeping it interesting that way. And some days we've just, I mean, some days I've come in with like 15 to 20 jacks. It's crazy.
That's insane. That's a lot of jacks. So what do you think?
Shut up.
We're going to get rain and it's just going to carry out through November?
I don't know. I mean,
or it might just be this big splurt of fish and then it's done.
That can happen too. So as the season kind of keeps going and if we get, you know, a couple shots of rain and then it kind of levels out, I swear we'll extend
our season. It should be amazing.
Yeah, but if we get what we had last year. So last year, once it started raining, it never stopped.
Yeah.
And those fish just, I think they piled through. I remember some of the dams, like they were like trucking like 6,000 fish a week up river. They were just gone. They weren't recycling them. They were, I mean, gone. And some years I've had excellent coho fishing after Thanksgiving, like that Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Now there are some coastal streams that, you know, you fish them all the way to Christmas, but usually our river.
About.
Exactly. No, he does. That's right. Marlon knows what we're talking about. No, he doesn't. He's sitting there just glazed, look on his face. No idea.
No. I just wish there was fish. That's all. I don't even care anymore because I just want to go deer hunting because there's no fish.
Yeah, it would be a good weekend to go deer hunting. But yeah, there are. We do. We understand that there's some coastal streams that will definitely get fish to Christmas, even in January. And but this one, the one that I'm fishing generally, it's kind of a first week in November on most years. Last year especially, but some years it will carry. So it, I think coho are probably the most weather dependent. Fish there are, you know, I mean, they just, the B runs, they just won't move.
For coho, what is it about that? I mean, you got the Columbia River fish not doing great. And then you go to these bays and these fish are doing fine. Like we're getting tons of fish back.
Bays.
Well, whatever those rivers that we're talking about feed into.
Say that again.
Oh, like Grays? Like Grays Harbor?
Yeah, like just Grays Harbor, Wilkes Bay, Tillamook Bay.
I don't know.
Just what's the difference between the bays and the Columbia?
You know, it's just
system.
How the fish are managed on those rivers that the Columbia's feed.
No,
you know,
I
that
no,
they feed
I'm
into?
Not familiar enough with, you know, like the Grays.
It seems
stuff.
Like year after year after year, those particular areas.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying.
Service
yeah.
more fish to us than any other, than the Columbia does.
Yeah, there's
than any of our rivers.
There's
yeah.
definitely
any of the Southwest Washington rivers. None of them have that. Like
even
none
some
of
those,
them are just epic, right?
Even
none
that
are,
epic year was at 4 years ago that we had.
You think about where some good. Of these guys up even north better. Are fishing on some of those rivers that start with yeah. S and stuff. Like what the hell? They always have awesome runs.
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be just the
just management.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, keep in mind now there's a lot of those rivers up there. I mean, they can keep wilds, you know, and so they're just fishing exclusively on wild successful stock that have done well.
That's true.
Some of the rivers. Gosh, I like I said, I don't know. And I'm not, because I honestly, some of those rivers that I know you're talking about that are up north coming into the Grays
so
and the Puget Sound, I've never fished. Never
cast.
So here's an interesting thing, right? So a lot of people blame, you know, things on dams, right? Like that's the number one thing people say. Well, we have quite a few rivers in Southwest Washington that do not have dams.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
Don't know. Development, like.
I could name rivers right now that don't have very much development at all on them that still aren't good. And I'll just name one because we're going to talk about it. The Kalama, for example. The Kalama doesn't have very much development on it. It may have logging, but
tons of development on it.
You're talking
in
a few houses sense. In comparison to like
a metropolitan area.
Exactly. You're talking about
a rock
few
pit.
Houses, right? Like not, there's no rock pits. There's nothing that's like substantially altered.
The
like
river,
substantially,
anything like that.
Right?
They're dumping that fish trap in.
Well,
every
I mean,
year.
Yeah, they. I mean, but
yeah,
even then, that's
fall.
Gone, yeah. and that's gone now.
They pull it out. That. Yeah, they
so
pull
like,
it out.
So it's just
fall.
An interesting
yeah.
thing to me, though,
no,
because it's like
I mean, you do have ocean. So overall, everything.
What's it boil down to? Management. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it does.
You can't blame it on ocean because all these fish go into the ocean, even the ones that go back to rivers that are successful.
You're right, but when you're talking, so let's take one of those northern rivers versus like that, the Kalama, like. Okay, if the Kalama's only going to, I mean, and this is why the ocean condition thing is it's a good argument, but it's not. Because you look at some of these other rivers. Okay, so let's say the rivers up north, let's say one of those rivers is supposed to get 100,000 fish. And this year they only get 40,000.
Still more.
They still have good fishing.
Yeah, they're still getting more.
Well,
fishing
the Klamath, for instance, if they're only going to get, if on a good year they get 10,000 back,
they might get.
But then all of a sudden they get 4,000 back.
Why you is it only see, getting 10,000?
Hold on, listen. But I think that's just kind of what's naturally produced for that watershed, or versus
it's
natural
huge.
Production and the. It's really not. Not compared to some of those ones up north. No way.
Yeah, but it goes so far, so many spawning trips. No way.
I don't know.
There's no way.
I don't know. I think
it honestly, it has to just boil down to management and how much fish they're willing to put in.
It is, but some of those rivers up north, they don't put any in. It's just a wild stock. So I don't know. I guess I don't know. But what I'm saying is that historically, those rivers produce more coho.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
So when you see a lesser run, they still have a lot of fish. When you see our runs that are just kind of always like teetering on good, and then we have a bad ocean, it's just like it's a kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at the Columbia as a whole, and that's why like I don't buy the ocean excuse all the time.
No.
Because you look at like
the ocean is the ocean. What do we just have a dead spot out in front of the mouth of the Columbia?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas like some of these other streams still saw 4% return last year for
the
steelhead, and we didn't.
The Willapa Bay is not far from the mouth of the Columbia. I mean,
yeah, but even then, but see, once again, those streams definitely were not what they were.
No, they
were
definitely not.
So like, but they were still good because they had. There is some implementation of that. They have a
just
better hatchery
back.
Program.
Take me back to 4 years ago.
Well, I don't want to take you back to 4 years. I want to take you ahead 2 years.
I don't know. That 4 years ago was pretty insane.
It was.
After work, six fish limits. That's pretty good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That was like, get off work, go catch a limit.
Well,
call
also,
some people, tell them
to
come get a limit
Also remember that, was it a year after that, we also had one fish limits in the Columbia Basin.
Yeah.
Everywhere was a one fish limit. So like you can't, it's tough because like, but I just wish our fisheries in the Columbia though were more robust to where like
just,
even on a down year, I know what you're going to say, even on a down year, it's still good.
It's just, I wasn't trying to make this podcast frustrating.
No,
but man, it just,
but it
really
is frustrating
because
that's the
kind of,
that's what we're in right
like
now.
Like I said,
wow.
go
I'm
back.
Sitting here, well, I mean, and I know they experience same things that, you know, that we might have epic fishing when they have, don't have good fishing, but man, it just seems like they consistently have great fishing and we don't.
Well, and look at, and really you'll boil back to steelhead fishing where they see great fishing up north of us, great fishing down south of us every year,
scratching.
Even on bad ocean years, and we suck.
I mean, we do well with what we have. We catch a lot of fish.
Yeah,
with what
but
we're still scratching.
Oh, we're
grinding.
We are. I never had to work so hard for winter steel in my life as I did last year. No way.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are. Like it was.
It's hard not.
You
to
can't
get,
sit there and say, tell me with a straight face that it was consistently good.
No, it's hard. It was the worst one I've ever had. Yeah. Yeah,
it was tough,
but it's hard not to get doom and gloom because
there's
at the end
days,
of the day,
right? We all have,
oh, we
days
all have our
during,
days
the,
yeah.
during the year, and you're like, oh man, maybe it's gonna get good, and then crap, you're like seven
and
more
see,
days
that,
with one fish.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's
March
what,
is coming.
That's
gonna be
and
amazing.
That's what you just said right there is what I think these bad ocean conditions has made the fishing. It's just made it consistently inconsistent because, like last year, when you're like you said, you all have those days. Like I would have a double digit day on steelhead.
And
I think,
have a poop
oh
day.
My god,
it's gonna be
yes.
on fire.
And this week the conditions are great. The river's just on that nice little drop. Got a couple showers moving in. I'm like, there is no reason that I'm not gonna go out the next 5 days and mess the world up. You go out the next day and you get one, and you fish hard. And it's like, and then the next day you might go out and get six. You're like, oh cool. And the next day you go out and get skunked. And it's like. Those, when you just don't have the numbers,
it's kind of been
your consistency just goes into the trap. Yeah.
It's kind of been 2008, even springers. Yeah. But it, what I was saying is it's hard to not want to be one of those like doom and gloomers or hard to not be one of those doom and gloomers when we kind of have been dealt this hand that like, you know, we're just not getting a lot of fish back. But I think there is some light at the end of the tunnel.
See, and you guys don't have
we'll
it right.
Have fish
you
at some point.
Yeah, and you're right. And I think we won. There's been, I mean, and even though with this year and the season's closure, I'm like, I had a great Columbia year. I was stoked. Buoy Town was great. Columbia was great. Ocean was fantastic.
Still fun.
Like, we were able to put clients on fish. But yeah, now
I honestly always have a great Columbia year. It's when we have to move into the tribs that I always feel like I'm constantly
there's
chasing
like
and looking
time.
And trying to find fish.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't, you know, I don't, that's for a banky. For someone who, like you, that might consistently fish a big river with a jet boat, maybe you could get on fish a lot more consistently. I have no idea. But when you're talking about hitting the bank and trying to consistently catch fish, I mean, we have guys in here that try to do it all the time. Sean sitting over there, Nick over there. I mean, I know lots of dudes that just, it just seems like it's freaking hard now. Oh, it is hard.
Definitely. I used to have my go-to hard, like September.
And like, no, don't say it's hard making it fun. No. It's hard to the point where you could go 6, 7, 8 freaking trips in a row without even hooking a damn fish. And it's like,
it doesn't matter.
And that's me. That's someone being.
If you're someone like me and these other guys.
Okay, so imagine someone that's trying to get into fishing.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So if you're someone new like me that's been doing it, or these guys that haven't done it, it may be hard, like Nick, who doesn't catch fish. But like, if you haven't done it and experienced these good years, you just want
to
go out.
It's detrimental to your experience of fishing.
No, but you go out and you catch one and you're happy. I can tell you the first time I went out and caught a coho, and we can ask Cameron, like, if your advice, what your advice would be for someone going out for the first time to catch one, what that would be. And I have advice, and I can share my story of the first time I've ever caught one, and how you can do that. I think that would be cool. But like, you guys are used, you've had these stellar years. There's lots of people out there. I'm just being honest.
There's lots of people that weren't fishing in 2014.
That weren't fishing, that don't know these good years, and all they're doing is hoping, like, give me, like, how do I get out there and just catch one? I'm just saying, there's people out there like that.
Come to us.
I understand that, but what I'm telling you is it makes it hard to want to tell people that when you consistent, like, we teach people constantly techniques, right?
Yeah,
I can teach people till I'm blue in the freaking face, but if there ain't no fish for them to catch, there's nothing that we can do.
So one question. There's nothing. Yeah, and it doesn't matter how good of a fisherman you are.
If
you go to the river and there's no fish, you're not going to catch anything. And it doesn't matter if you're a terrible fisherman. If you go to the river and you're having one of those banner years, you're probably going to get one to bite bear hooks.
That's what I was saying. Like, exactly. 2014, anybody could have caught fish.
That's what's an interesting dynamic about my twitching trips is because there are a lot of people that want to get involved, and they've gone out. And they've gone out and fished the wrong conditions in the wrong area and the wrong areas of the river. Like, they fished too high when the water was low, and they fished too low when the water was high, and vice versa.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the part that you just have to learn for yourself, or you have to hire a guide to try to help you along the way, because you're right. A guide.
Find a buddy.
I mean, that's why every one of those seminars, those fall fall bashes that we did, I had to really stress, like, hey, you know, be patient. You know,
dude,
just
what
go
was
out
so
and learn
cool,
it.
Though, is to see all the pictures posted afterwards. Like, dude,
there was that
out
one guy.
Fish.
There was guys. There was guys that came out and specifically said that they had been more successful. They had found some fish, and they were definitely more successful in the area that they were fishing from some of the stuff we learned at the fall back, which was awesome.
No, so I mean, that's cool. Share my story of the first time that I attended seminars. I followed you guys, right? And the very first time I went out, I ended up going on Cam's boat. I don't know if you remember this.
I do, because I didn't know who I was talking to, and then you showed up at the ramp. Like,
yeah, this was before I was ever invited here or, you know, hung out with these guys. But I was out with Cam on a guided trip. He had clients, and, you know, I mean, long story short was Mike Kaplan was actually out there snagging in a hole or whatever.
He wasn't snagging.
No, I'm just kidding.
That was that day I picked Mike up? Oh, my God. This is a great story.
This is a good story.
I forgot about this.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, I've caught coho in the ocean. I've caught coho at buoy 10. I've caught coho otherwise.
Yeah,
I've never caught them in the trips. But no, it is. But I've never done it in the trips. And I wanted to learn. And I was with you, and I've never twitched before. And
this is the funny part of the story, which I don't even know if you know.
Oh, well, so I'm... Well, I don't know.
You tell your story, I'll tell mine.
But I'm literally twitching, and I have no idea. Look at Marlon's embarrassed, like he's going to delete all this out of the podcast right now. But I'm twitching, and I have no idea what I'm doing or anything. Cam's giving me advice and everything else. We get Mike in the boat. Mike's helping. And anyways, long story short, I hooked my first one after like all day of twitching, right? Yeah. And I am not kidding you. Like, I'm not used to that. And I looked like an idiot when I finally hooked that fish. I could barely hold on to that twitching rod because my wrist was so sore and tired from twitching. I looked like an idiot. And that's when you had Mike grab the motor, who's never driven your boat before.
That's right.
You remember this? So Mike's never driven a boat before, and I'm hooked into my first fish ever, and I can hardly hold on to the rod because I'm like limp noodle. It was embarrassing.
We got it though, right?
Mike, oh yeah, we landed it and we got it. We bonked it. It was rad. But Mike's driving your boat, literally almost turns your motors into the metal pilings. Like, it was a disaster.
So, like,
it was a mess. But I caught my first one, and the whole point of it is either going to seminars or going with Cam.
People don't want to hear that, but it's the truth.
No, but the truth is, to go with a guide. To go with, I'm not. If I had a dollar, my learning curve, what I learned with going with, I could go out there and all day long for 3 years straight and just have no idea what I'm doing.
Calm down.
Okay,
so
I'm a little fired up.
I'm passionate. I'm gonna back up Clint on this because I forgot about that. I forget about these good stuff. You gotta tell you what,
it was hilarious.
But this is how this day started.
Everyone out there listening, do you guys think Clint's balls have dropped yet? Because a lot of us in the game here, you know, we think, you know,
Josh has checked. Are they there?
Want you guys to comment if you ever want me back here, because I have a feeling you'll never see me again.
They're still there.
If all goes well. Anyways.
So let's hear Cam's side of the story.
So this is my side of the story. Yeah. This is bad, and this is terrible. You're going to die. You're going to die.
No.
So I had you and two other people. There's three of you total, right?
No, it was you, me, and a regular, and then we picked Kaplan up.
Okay, so I had you and the regular. Oh, yeah. I had you and the regular. Are you sure there wasn't three of you guys?
Nope, it was me and one other.
It was really late in the season. I do remember that. It was really late because, like, all the fish had gone. Like, I was definitely not. But anyways, I had these two guys, and I was, like, fishing away. And I think, if I remember right, I think I hooked a couple fish early, but then, like, we couldn't get it done. Like, those fish were gone. They were scattered. It was definitely, like, the end.
Oh, yeah. Fact. Yeah.
So I texted Mike. I said, Mike, dude, I need your help. I'm like, would you just get in the boat and help me hook some fish for these guys? Right? And so, like, Mike hops in, and we go do our fishing thing. And then everybody else in the boat, like, we finally get on them. And when those late coho and the water's up, you got to kind of pick your spots. And so we finally get on them, and we start messing them up. Like, we got all our fish, right?
We did. Yeah.
But Mike didn't hook a thing. So I called Mike. I know I hate picking on Mike because that seems like what we do. But I called Mike and I'm literally sending him text like, dude, I need your help. I go, these guys are not going to be able to twitch their way out of a wet paper bag. I know. And it was me being frustrated because I was like, I can't find him. I can't get on him. Like, what the hell? So then I get Mike in the boat. I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick up my buddy Mike. He's down there fishing. So Mike hops in. It's like one of the first time Mike's fished with me, too.
I think
so
I remember. This
so
was
Mike,
last
like,
year,
hops
right?
in. And then, like, we go down to this one spot. And there's, like, a rock wall. And there's, like, some metal. Or there's some, like, metal on the side of the freaking hillside. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we finally get this fish. And, like, Clint hooks
a
fish.
I hooked one myself.
Yeah, Clint.
I didn't even take a hand off.
And he's getting roped. Like, and I grabbed
him.
Wow,
Clint.
I know. And I grabbed
him.
Well, you guys whooped him up.
That's how the day was going.
No, you guys whooped him up. But
eventually.
I think we just had to find him. It's tip classic salmon fishing. Got to find
him. How many handoffs did you take from Cameron?
Maybe one.
You're out. Out of Attics. You're out.
I'm not. But Mike did hook some and hand them off. But
did he?
No,
because I gave
so.
No, because I specifically
maybe
gave
Cameron
him
handed
crap.
Them to Mike and then Mike handed
no,
them to
no,
you
no,
guys.
No, because I remember giving Mike crap about that because I'm like, oh, I brought you in the boat to hook me all these fish. You didn't hook me shit.
Well, you named the snagging hole the Kaplan hole after that. Because we went.
But he lost him. He didn't hook any. Yeah, I called this one. I called the Kaplan hole.
We did go
hole.
In the little Kaplan hole.
Kaplan
you got
hole.
Your boat is really shallow, and there was logs, and it was nasty.
Yeah.
But
I know that.
But anyway,
that's where you were snagging, right? So
you
we took the boat in there.
So you finally hook a fish, and I go. And he's got a hot fish, and it's like blowing up the surface, big Dude. B run. I go running up with it. I'm like, Mike, grab the like the Hail Mary. Like, Mike, grab the motor. So I'm like, I run up to the front of the boat. Clint and I are focused on the fish, and I look over and there's the wall, and I look over again. The wall's getting closer, and I look, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know. And he's just like he was just like
in the motor,
he was just
gear,
no dude.
Like,
he was just like Cody on the stick. Jesus, take the wheel.
Did he just drop the anchor?
You know, and I go running back there, and I grab the motor, and I miss the side of the wall. But and the current's ripping. I mean, it's freaking roaring through there, and I missed the wall by like inches.
Inches,
and I'm like,
dude,
and I'm like, what the hell, dude?
And you
he
know
goes,
what's crazy?
No,
is
hold,
these
on,
guys-
hold on. He goes. I go, what are you doing? He goes. Dude, I never driven a boat before.
And I've never caught a cold. Like, I should have just given the rod to Kaplan,
like,
and I should have
these guys like, are in addicts.
No, what? Dude, that has nothing to do with being an
I'm
addict.
I'm joking.
He's a fishing addict. He can be in here.
I'm
but I'm
joking.
Just telling you, like, it was funny because I, like, literally threw him the keys and been like, save me, Mike, while we land this fish.
And he almost killed us.
And he almost, that's not a good idea.
Yeah,
it would have
saved
been bad.
You.
And all I remember, bad. I thought Cameron was going
to
stab
you know how
me.
Many times I told Mike, like, dude, you need to start driving my boat so you can, like, learn how to drive a boat.
No, don't
hard.
Do that. No, have dude, him drive.
It's amazing out. How many people don't know how to drive a boat. Let's stay on topic.
It's like, as in other words, amazing. Josh is trying to bail out of the, how we talk about him and rowing.
You've never even seen me row.
Exactly.
Put me on the stick, dude. Not this weekend, though, because it's my birthday. So I will not be rowing.
Do I have to row you down now? Is that
what I just thought you were going to kill me. I just remember you screaming multiple times, like, rod tip in the water. Rod. And I don't think I was listening to you. It was like life.
Tip that
life
happens, where I you know.
Do what I want.
Oh, good coho fishing. I love it.
I know. I'm excited. I mean, it's going to come up. The water's going to come up. We're going to see fish. I think it's going to happen. Marlon will probably be hunting, but it'll happen.
More for me. And then I'll go out during late buck and I'll opening morning, I'll shoot one right in the face and I'll be done.
Kill me.
Like in 20 minutes.
See how nice this guy is? I go out with him all hunting season, get his freaking blind. Like literally.
Screw you on the fishing.
His freaking thing for him. There's like nothing going on. Like
just, there's nothing going on that turn during that time of year.
No, nothing. Not at all. You know? Just twitching.
No, now. Now it's twitching. September 1st, I mean, nothing going on.
Oh, no, no. Nothing going on in September now.
Yeah.
Yeah, biggest fishery in the Northwest.
I'm just kidding. Well, we talked some coho. What else do we need to talk about? Any more coho? I think we need to wrap this episode up.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to be praying for rain every day and just.
Don't get down, guys. It's going to happen.
I'm not worried.
They're going to come.
And there's guys, I'm not.
And depending on where you're at, Frick, you might be on fish. You might be on fish where you're at, just in Southwest Washington, in the areas that we're not seeing a lot of rain. I know Popoff's struggling too. He told me.
Yeah, but
he
said
that
southern
area is just not putting out as many.
He's definitely getting fish, but
Gray's
getting them.
Up north, getting them. There's guys fishing lower in the tributaries again. Some of our lower tributary fisheries got kind of closed off.
Charles went out the other day and freaking second cast got one. So the fact is, you just got to get out there and go chase them. But
you will not catch them.
On the couch.
Sitting in your truck listening to this podcast or on
so for everyone listening and you and people are like, all right, you know what? These guys freaking just motivating me. I'm going to go hit the river.
Here's the list of rivers.
What should they use? Not river, but what technique? Like what's the quickest way for them to go get a fish?
Right now, I low clear conditions, run some fluoro bumper. Definitely today that helped. I mean, we only got two, but it definitely like the both. The fish came on that.
If you're going coho fishing, what are you taking with you? A twitch rod,
I'm
a spinning rod.
I'm bringing a twitch rod, bringing a spinner rod, bringing. I'm kind of throwing everything out. Odds are that if I'm fishing right now, I'm going to be fishing little isolated spots where there's fish held up, right? They're not blowing through. You're not fishing a 6-foot run. You're fishing a hole. So make sure that you go to that spot and give them a lot to offer. I have noticed some days that I've done better on Brad's wigglers and twitching, and I thought I would never say that. Or eggs. Like, just make sure you have your full arsenal. When the water's high and I can bounce around the spot, I just switch. Just switch. I catch plenty of fish.
Because it's productive.
It's easy. I don't have to. But right now, like, if I find a spot that has coho in it, I'm going to make sure I give them everything I got.
And so if they're aggressive, they will attack something.
Yeah, and I mean, I've had some spots.
Unless they're A-runners, then they don't buy nothing.
Yeah, but I've had some spots that I've twitched through, just, I mean, for, I'm talking a long time, just worked every angle that I could, moved up and down the bank, moved the boat up and down, adjusted my angle, fish tighter to cover, blah, 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 blah. And then like second cast through a wiggler, just boom. I mean, okay, that one wanted a wiggler, I guess. I don't know.
Just
like, I'm a little bit perplexed too. Same thing with some of the runs. Gone through some of these runs and, you know, there was a little current break, a lot of twitching, a lot of moving, casting plugs through it, nothing, pull over to the side, first bait of eggs through there, bloop, bobber down, whack.
Good to know because I don't generally carry wigglers with me.
You know,
jigs and spinners and eggs.
After the first couple of days, I threw them back in the boat. I haven't thrown them in the boat for a couple of years. Like, I'm having a real...
I mean, that used to be the old go-to, wigglers.
Absolutely.
Nonstop. Oh. Twitching was like... Nobody even talked about it.
What's that? Exactly. It was all wigglers.
Don't forget about them.
Don't forget about them.
They work.
No way.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, don't forget to subscribe. I know we tell you that all the time, but we just got to remind all the new viewers out there that are listening that every single week we try to put out a new podcast. So subscribe so you can see when they're coming out.
Also, for those that don't know, make sure you go check out our YouTube channel. We have Addicted Life episodes where we do some of this kind of fishing and the Addicted Alaska movie. So for those of you guys that are listening to about twitching, if you go watch the 7-part Addicted Alaska movie on YouTube, it's pretty much all twitching all the time.
Yeah, a lot of twitching.
A lot of fun.
Sick.
Sick video.
Also, we go into detail about a lot of these techniques on our YouTube channel too. So there's twitching techniques on there. There's all sorts of tutorials and stuff. So find all that on our YouTube, Addicted Fishing. Thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. We will see you on the river.
Later, guys. Later.